In Jesus' name we pray, everybody. Say amen. Before you take your seat, punch your neighbor in the shoulder. Say hit refresh. Come on, punch him in the shoulder. Say hit refresh. Say boom, boom, boom. Come on, punch him in the shoulder. Bah, 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 bah. Hit refresh. Hit refresh. Look at the person who hit you. Say, touch me again. Tell them, punch me again. I'm going to hit boom. I'll hit refresh, all right. And everybody's phone, everybody's web browser, there is a button right there in the corner that is the refresh button, also known as the refresh option. It is a function of all internet browsers. It is used to ask the browser to send you the most updated version of the page that you're viewing. In general, refresh is another way of describing the process of reloading or updating what is being displayed or stored. For example, if you were on a web page, refreshing the page would bring up the most recent content published on that page. Essentially, you're asking the site to send your computer the newest version of the page you're viewing. When you hit the refresh button on your web browser, what you're asking that page to do is to update. Send me the newest, latest, freshest version of this page. In the same way, many of us in our lives, there are seasons that roll up on us where we have to hit the refresh button, and this is one of those times. It is 2020. It is time to press refresh. What does that mean? It means that it is time to become the newest, most updated version of who you are. You cannot approach 2020 with your 1985 self. You cannot approach 2020 with your 1992 self. You cannot approach 2020 with your 2019 self. You need to say, God, I need you to update me. I need you to refresh me. I need you to reload something in my life, because a new year requires a new mindset, a new focus, and a new engagement on my part. Everybody say new. It is time to hit refresh. God is saying it's time to upload. It's time to say, God, what is the revelation you're giving to me now? What's the manna you're releasing to me now? I know there's a movement. See, I love January. I love the beginning of the year, because this is the time of year we get to hit refresh on every area of my life. I know there's a movement that says don't make New Year's resolutions and they don't work, but I don't believe in that. Even if your resolution only lasts for 6 weeks, that's fine. What I love is the process that you sat down and thought about. Where am I? Where am I trying to go? What am I trying to get done? What am I trying to do? I know they say, it's January, here we go. New year, new me. You need to say, no, this is a new season. This is a new month. This is a new year. It is a new time for me to find out, where am I going? I don't understand people who live in the realm of random. There are people who just wake up and say, let me see where the day leads me. Let me see where the year takes me. Let me just know. You got to take authority over the year. You got to sit with God. Say, God, what are we trying to get done? And you got to aim at your year. You got to aim at your day. Some of you just mindlessly just go from place to place, from moment to moment, and you're not getting anything done. And God is saying, no, you got to focus in. This is the time to ask yourself, where are you? What are you trying to do? What's going on? Take your phone out. I got some questions that you need to write down. You need to ask yourself. Take your phone out. Take these notes. Even you Android people, take this out. Just put these down. Where are you spiritually? Where are you at? How's your prayer life? Do you pray? If we said your name to God, would he ask, who are you? Would he say, I never heard that voice before? How are you doing? When is the last time? Do you have a Bible? If we went to your house, would your Bible be holding up the table? Would we have to pull it up from under the table, dust it off? What's the last verse you read? If the last time you read a scripture was the last week you were here, you got to ask yourself, where am I spiritually? How's your worship? Did it take you 20 minutes to get in the presence of God? Or did you walk in saying, nope, I'm coming in, I'm ready. I'm ready to worship. Where are you at with God? How are you feeling spiritually? Are you dry or are you on fire? Are you dry or are you afresh? Where are you at spiritually? Where are you at relationally? Do people like you? Do you like you? If everybody in your life sends you the voicemail, every time I call somebody, I just get doo-doo-doo. It's just like, what? Where are you at relationally? How are your friendships? Do you have people in your circle? Do you have people? Do you have mentors and people in your life? Or are you the only big thinker in your circle? Are you the only driven person in your circle? Are you the only one with morals and values in your circle? How are your friendships? How's the marriage? When was the last date night? Have y'all touched each other yet? Just recently? When's the last time y'all touched? Put your name and say, I think he's talking to you. Just wake up, pay attention right here. What's going on? If the last time you touched was 2 years ago, we got to work on this relationship. Where are you at in your marriage? How are things going? Do you communicate well? How is it going in your relationships? Where are you at physically? Do you like the way you look? Or do you ignore the way you look? They had Tyler Perry. I don't know if you saw Tyler Perry. He posted a picture, and on the scale, he put fake news. And because when he stepped on it, he said he couldn't believe the number. He just wrote fake news. I'm never looking at that thing again. Where are you at? How's your health? Do you have a doctor? Do you know your doctor? Does your doctor know you? Have you had a physical? Have you had a checkup? Have you been checked out? Where are you at? I know you. Yup, it's a new year, and everybody's making fun of people going to the gym. Yup, it's time to go to a gym. Do you have a gym? Do you walk 10,000 steps? Where are you at? What's your thing? Where are you at in your health? Where's your money? No, for real. Where is it? Where? Who got it? Who's holding on to your money? How much money do you have right now? How much money do you want to have right now? How much do you owe? Is Sallie Mae looking for you? Are you still under a hidden name because you don't want Sallie Mae to find you? Are you keep parking two blocks from your house because the car place is coming to look for the car, and so you've learned how to park over at your neighbor's garage so that they can't find your car? If they tried to get a loan, you tried to get a loan for Skittles, would you get a approve of what they say? Man, we wouldn't even give you 59 cents for a Skittle because your credit score, you ain't got no credit score. What is a credit score? Where are you at with your money? Pastor, what are you doing? Why are you asking us these questions? Because this is the time, this is the season of the year for you to take an assessment of where you are, look at all the aspects of your life and say, God, I want you to do something new in my spiritual life, do something new in my finances, do something new in my health, do something new in my relationships. God, I don't want the same old, refresh my life. God, it wants to do something new, something that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. I want you to bump into new this year. I want you to be walking and see a blessing that you didn't expect. I want you to walk into a season that you didn't know you was going to have. I want you to enter a dimension that you can't believe that you're on. I want you to get to a level and say, how did I get to this level? I want you to see something new in every area of your life. God will do new. The question is, do you want new? Or are you so in love with old that new turns you off? Are you so in love with yesterday that you don't even want to see tomorrow? Sometimes you can be in love with an old thing, but God is saying, see, what stops us from new is not sin, it's settling. For some of you, sin is not your biggest problem. For some of you, your biggest problem is that you settle. 2019 didn't take you out, but it did slow you down. For 2019, you didn't throw in a towel, but you did take a seat. Because there was like a spirit of fatigue that went over the body of Christ in 2019. I'm seeing pastors resigning and people, bishops just quitting and people giving up. Why? Because the fatigue, the fight of faith has taken its toll on so many people. And this year, you don't know how to conjure up something new because 2019 took a lot out of your faith. It took a lot out of your prayer life. It took a lot out of your emotions. But God is saying you cannot settle. You got to keep going. Because if you keep going and faint not, you will hit a due season where you'll reap a harvest of blessing in your life. The devil could not stop Abraham, but he tried to make Abraham settle for an Ishmael. And God's like, I can't let you settle, Abraham, for Ishmael. I got to keep pushing you forward because there is an Isaac that is on the way. It is a child of promise. The enemy tried to make Moses just settle in Midian. Just be with Jethro's flocks. Just do your thing. But God would not let Moses settle. He had to find a bush, set the bush on fire, let the bush burn until Moses had to see it from afar. He drew in Moses just to get Moses' attention to say, Moses, you cannot settle here in Midian. You got to go back to Egypt and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. These are not your settling years. These are your conquering years. These are not your years where you just settle for an average marriage and settle for an average career and settle for an average worship life. No, this is the year that you decide, I want new, I want fresh, I want the real stuff. But you got to have a desire for new. Can I tell you, this is why I love 2 Corinthians 5:17, because Paul says, any man that be in Christ is a new creation. Old is gone and the new has come. God is about new. God loves new stuff. God loves taking an old stale marriage and make it new. He loves taking an old dream and making it new. God's trying to make a new you. He's not trying to make a better you. He's not trying to make an improved you. He's trying to make a new you. If he was going to make a better you, he'd take you that you are right now and he'd just clean you up and refurbish you. That's not what God does. God breaks you. God tears you down so that he can rebuild you up and make you into a new creation. God is not about making bad people good. He's about making old things new. God is a God that makes people drive by and see you. Have you ever lived in your neighborhood? You ever went back to your old neighborhood and you almost drove past your old house because it didn't look the same, because all of a sudden they did something new with the thing? It's just like that. God will make you so when people see you, they say, wait, you getting married? Wait, you go to church? Wait, you leading worship? Wait, you're doing that? Wait, you serve? Wait, God says, I'll make you new. Your mother won't recognize you. Your father will scratch his head. Your spouse will wake up and say, I don't know what got a hold of you, but you are not who you used to be. There's something new about you. I want you to be so new this year you are unrecognizable to old eyes. I want people to have to scratch their head when they see you saying, what in the world happened to you? What got into you? You say, God got a hold of my life. See, think about who wrote this. Paul wrote this. Paul says, I was the first Christian terrorist. I killed Christians for a living. I caused a riot and made people stone Stephen. I got on my horse and went to Damascus to make it legal to kill Christians because I couldn't stand Jesus or his followers. But on the road to Damascus, Jesus punched him in the chest, knocked him off the horse, fixed him up, made him new. And now one third of your Bible was written by a former Christian terrorist. Why? Because God says, I make stuff new. Paul said, don't nobody know like I know. That God can make you one way and then turn around and change you and make you different. Paul says, when I say you can be new, I know what I'm talking about. God believes in new so much, every 10 years he gives you a new decade. Every 12 months he gives you a new year. Every 4 weeks he gives you a new month. Every 7 days he gives you a new week. Every 24 hours, he gives you a new day. Every 60 minutes, he gives you a new hour. Every 60 seconds, he gives you a new minute. Why? Because God says, whether you like it or not, I'm pushing you into new. What does that mean? You could be one way last week. God said, that's fine. I can hit the refresh button. I'm giving you a new week. Yeah, you might have been tore up from the floor up last month. Guess what? I'm pushing you into a new month. Last decade wasn't that good. God said, that's fine. I'll push you into a new decade. Why? Because I'm about new. God is so into new. He said, even when you die, you're going to see a new heaven and a new earth. This is about new, which means, it means at any moment, you can start over. Okay. I know the problem is. All the perfect people, you're thinking, I don't need a new minute. Last minute was perfect. I don't need a new month. Last month was perfect. New decade, last decade was perfect. Do me a favor. Can the three of y'all go out there for a second? Just give me 5 minutes. I need all the three perfect people in the room. The last month was perfect. Is there anybody in this room for the rest of us who said last month wasn't the best month of my life? But guess what? I thank God that I got a new fresh grace. I thank God I got new forgiveness. Is there anybody that can admit I'm ashamed of some stuff I did yesterday, but I got a new day. I woke up today and God says new mercy, new grace, new anointing, new favor. Can somebody give God a 30-second praise break? Because you might not have been a good wife last year, but God said, that's fine, hit refresh. You might have not been the best servant last year, that's fine, hit refresh. You might not have had the best prayer life last month, that's fine, hit refresh. You can always start over. Go get those three people, tell them come back. We're done now. I just want to get that out the system. You gotta know that God is a God that will let you start over. But now we gotta deal with something. Because Jesus says, I'll give out new wine. The question is not, will I give new wine? The question is, will I find a new wineskin to put it in? Which means, in order for you to receive something new from God, you got to become someone new in order to maintain it. In order to receive something new from God, you got to become someone new in order to maintain it. Because if I give you new revelation with an old mind, you will take the revelation that I gave you and you'll mess it up. If I try to give new vision to old eyes, you will blur up what I'm showing you and walk away not knowing that was me. I hear people saying all the time, God, when are you going to bring me a man? When are you going to bring me a woman? I want a wife. He who find a wife, find a good thing. Obtain favor from the Lord. And God is like, if I bring a new person, when you are still attached to your ex, you will bring ex behavior into new relationship. And so when new gets here, you treat them and make them pay a price for something your ex did. And they get mad because they walk away. And then say, oh, you can't handle a real woman. They're like, no, I can't handle a real woman. Is I recognize you are charging me with something I didn't do. And I don't have enough to pay for this price for what that person did. And God is saying, it's not about can I bring a new person. The issue is, can you give me a new wineskin to bring a new person to so that we can move in a new direction for the new season of your life? To do this, to do marriage, you trying to get married? I don't know how I got on relationships. Y'all getting something out of this? Give me a second. To do this, you better have a new mind. You trying to be married? You have a new mind. Because for most of my life, I used to buy chips and eat chips. And then I got married, went into a store, bought chips, opened up the chips to have someone else's hand. Listen to me. This is fighting stuff. Y'all might think this is little. This ain't small. There have been wars over this. I got a taste in my mouth. I grabbed the chips that I wanted, open up the bag, and then a hand that's not mine reaches in. I don't know if it's washed. I don't know if it's clean. I don't know what. Just start digging all around the bag, pulled out chips. You got to have a new mind for this. Because your old mind says, I just said, put that down. Oh, slap those chips out your hand. Took me years to get used to my wife putting a hand in my bag of chips. And now, I got two kids. open up the bag of chips. I got three hands. I got three hands. I got wet hands, sweaty hands, hands with spit on it, hands with that's just been in dirt. Just put they all their hands in the bag. Take it out. I got one chip left, and they want me to be happy and satisfied. And they say, yeah. And so late at night, I'm a late night eater. And my wife say, why you eat so late? It's because I tried to eat during the day, but all y'all took all my food. I had to wait till y'all go to bed and know that y'all can't wake up so I can go downstairs by myself and really eat. God says, I'll give you new wine, but you better bring me a new wineskin, because you will destroy the new thing that I'm trying to bring into your life. So what we got to do is we got to hit refresh. I believe there are four areas we got to hit refresh on. I'm just going to deal with one. I don't have time to get to all of them. I'm just going to deal with one, and maybe the next time I preach, or we'll find a way to get to the others. I'm just going to deal with one. You got to, one, refresh the way you think. I'm going to deal with that one. You got to refresh the way you speak, because you cannot expect to live like a king and talk like a kid. You want king treatment, but you speak on a kid level. And if you want to be treated like a king, maybe you need to start talking like one first. Which is why before God dropped a blessing in someone's life, he often had to change their name first. Because your language has to match your level. And I can't bring you on a new level when you keep calling yourself something old. Because some of you are going by names, and I just hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, you better stop answering to that name. That name ain't funny no more. And people joke, and they call you that name, but you know that name comes with a connotation. That name comes with a brand of who you used to be. And it is perfectly fine to say, people, I love y'all, but that's not my name no more. That's not my name. Why? Because you got to change the way you speak in order to refresh the level that you're going to. Sometimes you got to refresh the way you see, because you can see something, and it can, if you're so addicted to old, God can be trying to bring something new. You know, there are some people who hear me preach, and they're listening to me preach right now, and they're saying, man, that's a word. I love this word. It's a good word. And then there's like two or three people who's like, if this man's jeans get any skinnier, I'm just gone. If I see another hole in this man's jeans, I haven't been able to hear one word the man said, because it's just, and at some point, if you don't get over skinny jeans and ripped jeans, you are going to miss out on an anointing on somebody's life and on a revelation God's trying to give you, because you got to refresh the way you see. Because I'm telling you now, I'm not putting on baggy pants so you can receive a word. It's not going to happen. Was that okay to say? I don't know if I should have said that. Was that fine? Okay, I'm sorry. I had to check myself. I can almost start ranting a little bit. I'm just saying to you that sometime God will show up a new way. They say 43% of our behavior is habit. What's a habit? A habit is when you're doing something without thinking. You don't actually need your mind to do this. The most accidents that happen in America happen within 5 miles of a person's house. Why does it happen within 5 miles of a person's house? Because once you get within 5 miles of your house, your mind goes into autopilot. You've driven this way so many times that you don't even have to think. How do I know this? You know this because there are people who can drive and text and do their makeup and change the radio and feed the kids all at the same time. What's happening? You don't need your mind for all these things. You are literally operating on habit. And the reason why people get into a car accident is because something new happened that they didn't see. A deer came in and they weren't expecting it. Somebody was walking across the street, they didn't expect it. Somebody made a sharp turn, they wasn't expecting it. The reason why you weren't expecting it, because you weren't really using your mind. You were just going by habit. And God is saying, if you're not careful, you can be so familiar with the way I used to do things, Sunday, Wednesday, that when we say Sunday night in Raleigh, 6 p.m., your mind can't even compute. I'm not going to that. I used to go to Sunday morning and Wednesday night. But God said, yeah, but what if I just jumped in the way and tried to hit you with something new? Do you have the eyes to see that maybe I'm not going to hit you like I used to hit you last year? Maybe we got to do something new and give you something a little different so you can actually use your brain when you come to church. What's your neighbor say? He's definitely talking to you. Please pay attention. Sit up. You better not leave, Judge. You better not leave. It's going to look awkward. So you have to hit refresh. Refresh the way you think. Refresh the way you speak. Refresh the way you see. And refresh the way you act. And I'll get to all those. But I just want to deal with refreshing the way that you think. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, the NLT version, New Living Translation says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is his good, pleasing, and perfect will. In order to experience the new that God has, you're going to have to think different. You're going to have to get rid of that old, stinking, worn down, stale, tired thinking. What's that thinking? It's the thinking that says, how? God, when? God, why? God, that ain't never going to happen. I know that's not going to happen. That ain't even possible. Here we go again. It's always me. See, I knew it was going to work out. There it goes. See, when God again, why? God is saying this is the year to stop thinking like that. You got to get rid of that old thinking. You got to renew your mind according to the word of God. You got to believe all things are possible. You got to believe that you can do all things through Christ who give you the strength. You got to believe no weapon formed against you to be able to prosper. You got to believe that if you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't fear no evil. You got to believe that if God be for you, who can be against you? You got to renew your mind. Everybody listen to me. The only way to get rid of an old thought is to replace it with a new one. You cannot make yourself stop thinking. All right, let's try it. Let's try to not think, okay? I want you to try to not think of a juicy cheeseburger. I want you to try to not think of a juicy just cheese just and a bun and just steam. And try not to think of the French fries on the side and they're hot and they're crispy, but they're soft on the inside and they're lightly coated and they're nicely brown. And do not think of the onion ring that's coming on. Don't think of the hot, just crispy onion ring. Don't think of the lettuce and the tomatoes and onion and the pickles. It's nicely sliced. And don't think of the nice plate. And it's hot, and it's fresh, and it's food. Don't think about it. Don't think about the glass of juice that's just sitting right there. Just bubble. Don't think about it. Now, how many of you in here, that is what you was thinking about? As I was talking, you was thinking about the burger the whole time. Getting a little hungry. You getting ready to go eat after this. That is what you do with temptation. Oh, don't think about her. Don't think about legs. Don't think about her. Don't think about her. Don't mind. Don't think. And all of a sudden, your mind is like, this is all we thinking about. What you talking about? I don't know why I can't overcome this temptation. I told my mind, don't think about it. And your mind's like, yeah, the more you keep telling me not to think about it, that's what I'm thinking about. Which is why you always got to have a fighter verse on you. You always got to have a verse in your pocket. So when something hits your mind, the only way to replace that thought is to say, well, let me think about something different. Let me think about the goodness of the Lord. Let me think about what he's doing in my life. Let me get a verse that I quote, because as I quote the verse, I'm not spending all my time thinking about that thing. Just because a bird flies over your head doesn't mean you need to let it make a nest in your hair. Just because a bird flies over your head doesn't mean you need to let it make a nest in your hair. Just because a thought comes to your mind don't mean you have to take the thought, love the thought, let the thought conceive and have babies all in your head. Some thoughts you can say, nope. I'm thinking something else. Ah! Thinking something else. Ah! I'm thinking something else. thinking something else. And what happens is when you really get good and the word of God really gets in you and the word of God really renews your mind, the word of God will work for you. And when the enemy tries to send a thought, here comes John 3:16, like, ah, but God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Even in your dreams, you will get yourself out of nightmares because a dream will try to hit you. But you got so much word in you that the word will fight for you. This is why the Bible says he never sleeps, he never slumbers, he always watches over your life. Because even when you're asleep, I'll step into your mind and protect even your dreams. So here's the deal. I'm saying this and then I'm done. You got to think differently. You got to hit refresh on the way you think in 2020. Here is the way I want everybody to think. I'm closing my Bible, putting that down. Let me wipe the sweat. And here we go. I'm going to read the scripture and then we out and then we done. This is the way I want everybody to think. Go to Mark chapter 5, begin at verse 1. Put up Mark. This is the new way we thinking in 2020. This is how we getting down in 2020. This is where your mind needs to be in 2020. When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors. There was no room, even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. So they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." I don't see nobody running. I don't hear nobody shouting. Nobody said hallelujah. Nobody said woo. Nobody said thank you. So that means I got to break this thing down. Jesus is in a house preaching. House is packed. It's so packed, people from outside can't even get in. Four friends are bringing a dude paralyzed. And when they roll up on the house, they can't get in. Now, see, if that was us, we knew that Jesus was at a conference, and we knew that Jesus was going to be there, and we showed up, and they said registration's closed, and we're not letting people in, and there's nothing we could do, and there's not even overflow seat, we would have said, see, that's why I don't even come to this stuff. See, every time I try to see Jesus, I can't. See, I knew I was going to get a miracle. See, I don't even know why all these people here, they don't even love him like that. See, but that's not what these men did. These men said, okay, let's go through the door. They said, we can't go through the door. They said, let's go through the window. They said, I don't see us getting through the window. They said, what about the back door? We can't get through the back door. And so rather than going home and rather than saying forget it and rather than saying next time, they had to refresh the way they think. They looked at the house one more time and said, I see people on the lawn. I see people on the door. I see people around the house. You know where I don't see people? I don't see nobody up there on that roof. You got to be crazy. I am crazy. Well, you ain't going to go all the way up there. Yeah, I'm going to go all the way up there. These dudes got up on the roof and they didn't just get up on the roof. They started digging a hole in the roof, but they didn't just dig a hole at any spot. The Bible says they started digging a hole above his head, which means Jesus is sitting there preaching, and while he's preaching the gospel, dust is falling on his head. He's looking up saying, what is going on? He's hearing noise, and before you know it, they got a hole so big that they start to make the man lower him down. He gets right in front of Jesus. Jesus didn't say how rude you are. Jesus didn't say this is so insulting. Jesus didn't say, I can't believe you did this to the man's house. Jesus says, what kind of faith am I looking at right here? And because you thought of a new way to get in this house, I'm about to bless you in a new way that you've never seen before. What kind of mind do I want you to have in 2020? I want you to have the mind that when you try to get in this way and it's closed, you try this way. And you can't get in there this way, try this way. And they say, not this way, not this way. And when you can't get in any other way, you say, that's fine. I'll just climb upon a roof, yeah. I'll just dig a hole in that bad boy and I'll get myself to Jesus. This is the year for new strategies. This is the year for new ideas. This is the year for new solutions. This is the year that if one door's closed, go through the window. If the window's closed, go through the back. If the back back is closed. Get your butt up on the roof. Stop complaining. Stop crying. Stop murmuring. Stop being sad. Stop taking your ball and going home. Say, no, I came in for a blessing, and I'm not leaving until I get it. Somebody in this room, open up your mouth and give God a tear the roof off the place praise. Say, God, if I gotta go on the roof this year, I'll go on the roof. If I gotta go through the wall, I'll go through the wall. If I gotta sneak through the door, I'll sneak through the door. If I got to crawl my way in, that's what I'm going to. But whatever's gonna happen, I'm not going back. I'm not going back. I'm not going back. Somebody in this place, open up your mouth and shout, hey! Get on the roof. Get on the roof. Get on the roof. They may said, you can't get in this room. Say, I'm going another way. They might have said, you can't get up here. Say, I'm going another way. But whatever you do, don't go back home. Don't complain. Don't give up. Don't go in the towel. Don't cry. Don't get weary. Don't get all messed up. Climb on the roof. Climb on the roof. Climb on the roof. Climb on the roof. Push somebody and say, God is about to make a new way. God's about to make a new path. Yeah. Everybody might have gone that way, but God's about to show me another way. Everybody might have went that direction, but God is about to reveal another direction. Open up your mouth and shout. You don't have to be qualified. You don't have to have it all together. You don't have to know somebody. You don't have to kiss nobody's butt. God says, I'll put you on a roof. I'll put you on a roof. Dig your way in. Dig your way in. Dig your way in. Dig your way in. You can stay right there. Stay right there. Stay right there. Don't move. Don't move. Don't move. Don't move. For all last year, I was trying to get my kids to throw away their toys. They had too many toys upstairs, and I said, y'all got to throw away these toys. And every time I told them to throw away their toys, they start crying, Daddy, that's my favorite toy, and I don't want to get a toy, and I don't know. Christmas time came. We put the tree up. I started putting presents under the tree. The kids looked under the tree and said, what's that? I said, that's toys. They said, who that's for? I said, that's for y'all. They said, we're going to get these toys. I said, yep, only under one condition. Before you get these toys, you got to go upstairs and get rid of some of those other toys. My kids ran upstairs, grabbed a bag, and started throwing toys in the bag. Cleared out the room, dragged the bag down the stairs, dragged the bag down the stairs and put it in front of the door and said, Dad, all those toys are gone. Why in the world? What happened? Because for a whole year, I was trying to make them throw away some toys and they wouldn't move. What happened? I can tell you what happened. This time they saw the new toys and they said, I want those new toys so bad that if I gotta go upstairs and get rid of every toy I have, I want the new thing so bad, I'm willing to let go of the old stuff. And I came to preach to somebody and say, you got to go upstairs in your house, the house of your mind. You got to grab your bag. You got to get those old mindsets, those old ideas, those old thinking, and you got to put it in a bag. You got to drag it downstairs and you got to say, God, I got rid of the old stuff. I made some room. Give me my new stuff. Give me my new season. Give me my new blessing. Give me my new dimension. Give me my new level. Somebody open up your mouth and say, I want it. God, give me the new stuff. God, give me the new anointing. Give me the new grace. Give me the new fire. Give me the new power. Give me the new power. Give me the new power. Yeah. I don't want yesterday's power. There's a power for today. Release it over my life. Somebody in this place, open up your mouth, throw your head back, lift your hands up, and say, God,
Give me the new stuff. God, give me the new stuff. God, give me the new stuff. God, yeah. God, yeah. God, yeah. God, yeah. Give me the new stuff. Give me the new stuff. Give me the new stuff. Give me the new stuff.
Come on, open up your mouth. Open up your mouth. Come on, 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 God is releasing it right now. God is pouring it right now. God is pouring it right now. Come on, open up your mouth and receive it. If you're watching online, receive it. If you're in the lobby, receive it. Wherever you are on this parking lot, in this space, wherever it is, receive it. You cannot take yesterday's manna and feed your family today, because that manna is spoiled. That man is rotten. God says, wake up. Get before me. I got new manna. I got new bread. I got new bread. I got new bread. I got new bread. You might have thought that old manna tasted good, but wait till you taste this new manna. Wait till you taste this new thing. Everybody standing on your feet, I want to pray for you. Hit refresh. Update. Catch up. God's not stopping. You know what the problem we have with God? It would be easy if he was just Alpha. Problem with God is he's Omega too. I wish he was just Alpha so that then we could just talk about yesterday. But the fact that you're Omega, you got to keep pushing me towards the new thing you're doing in my life. And God is like, many of you know me as Alpha. But this year, you're going to meet Omega. This year, you're going to meet the God who stands at the finish line, who knows all things, and who steps into your beginning, and he pushes you. See, in the world, we start at the finish line. But in God, he starts at the, we begin at the starting line, but God starts at the finish line and works his way backwards. That's a whole different lesson. I can't go down that road. Open your hands halfway. Let me just release this into your life. Father, I'm praying that you would hit refresh. Because it's a new season. And it's a new day. Fresh anointing flowing my way. It's a season of power and prosperity. It's a new season and it's coming to me. Yeah. It is a new season. And it's a new day, yeah. And we want fresh anointing. Let it flow, let it flow my way. It's a season of power and prosperity. I know it's a new season and it's coming to me. Let it flow my way. It is a season of power and prosperity. It's a new season coming to me. Said it's a new season and it's coming. Come on, receive it, receive it, receive it, receive it. Hey! I said it's a new season and it's coming to me. Lord, I pray as we leave this place, I ask for your grace and your anointing. Hit us in a new way. Show us a new path. Show us a new direction. Give us new thoughts. I pray a new season over everyone's life as we enter into a new level. Give us new language, new ideas, new solutions for old problems. New solutions for old problems. New solutions for old problems. New strategies, a new focus. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Come on, put your hands together. Tonight, afresh. If you want more, if you want to go deeper, meet us in our Raleigh location. If you don't know the address, look it up at wordovercomers.church or just ask someone. God bless you. Don't forget about baptism and the prayers that happened this week. Have an amazing, amazing week.